with the lifting of your hands, come and adore the name of the Father for making a life so brand new. Oh, oh.
Shenina na 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 Come on, wherever you are, just lift your hands as we adore our Father. You're worthy, you're worthy, you're worthy, Lord. All the glory belongs to you. Come on, wherever you are, just sing in other tongues, just bask in His presence, just bask in the anointing. Shanta la bande ko selene, shere la la ba son ton ombira la ya, sala la 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 ba dosa tililhenene. Come on, let it rise, let it rise, let it rise. Oh, shara manenos, shatele ni na na ya.
Name, oh, what a wonderful name, the
name of Jesus. One more time. What a wonderful name it is. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, our King. What a wonderful name it is. Nothing compares to the name Jesus. What a wonderful name, the name of Jesus. Come on, let it rise, let it rise, let it rise. Hold the name so sweet. Shelelelelo satalabayo satelelelele. Let it rise, let it rise, let it rise. Let your praises rise to our God and our Father, our Comforter every day, every night. Sonanela bayados elelele. Oh, He gave us the name above every other name. Sanela bayano sitane na yandala. Oh, come on. I will sing in the spirit and I will sing in my understanding also. Come and lift your voices. Sanela bayana sotelele. Rananandela. Oh, the name. Sona vida. Sona vida. Sotelenda ya balosa. Oh, come and lift your voices. And death could not hold you. The veil tore before you. You silenced the boast of sin and grave. Said death could not hold you. The veil tore before you. You silenced the boast of sin and grave. You have no rival. You have no equal. Now and forever. Now and forever, Lord, you reign. Yes, you have no rival. Oh, you have no rival, Lord. No one can save us like you did, Lord. No one can rescue us like you did. Oh, no one can translate us into the kingdom of light. Oh, you have no rival. You have no rival. Sonanela darabasa talabaya. Helelelelelinaya. Oh, no one can compare to you, God. No one, no one. Shelele diabasa. Oh, shut up. Ye kelelos. Shelelos satalabaye. Yours is the glory forevermore. Now and forever. Now and forever. Yours is the kingdom. Yours is the glory. Oh, now and forever. I got you reign. Shenananosa. lift your voices to the King of Kings.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We give you praise. Yes, we give you praise. It's just so always awesome, all right, to get together. So welcome to our evening meeting. When the service, I believe your week has been great. I trust it has. Just always wonderful, you know, knowing that you're going to be there listening or watching. And thanks for always tuning in. We're coming like super close already, right, to the very, very, very end of the month of July. So how has it been? And I'm asking, like, I really won't mind if you're listening, if you could type, all right, how you've been, or watching, you could drop a comment. Have you been? Really? How's the month been for you? Okay, so have you been able to listen to the Kenny Hagin message? How much of a blessing was that teaching to you? How much of impact? What did you learn? I mean, have you been praying? Now, you don't have to write all that if you don't want to, but, I mean, let me know you're watching. Just drop a comment, please. Let me know you're watching. Just say something about your July, if it could be a word or a phrase, all right? If it's a sentence, it's fine. Has it been? What's the impact of this month's teaching, all right? What impact has it had on you, if you don't mind answering that also? What impact has this month's teaching had on you? How much of a blessing has it been? It's just so good to be here. I'm excited about the month of August, because in August, we're going to deal a lot more, all right, with how to take the word in. Well, still touch, of course, on the ministry of the Spirit, but deal a lot more with how to take the word in. I'm sure if you've listened to the Kenny Hagin message, it talked about you giving attention to God's word, or right, being a doer of the word, or right, walking in love and all. So we need to come to that base level, that foundational level of, okay, let's take the word in. Let's talk about how to, you know, flow in the things of the Spirit, all right? How better? Basic. Put the word in your heart. I know you know, okay? So just like we learned last Wednesday about the basic principles of faith, it's important for you and I to learn, right, the basic operations of the word of God. And sometimes really when, you know, maybe seemingly older believers, seemingly more mature believers, seemingly, all right, when they hear the word basic, they get to feel, stops with, you know, dealt with, you know, prayer, stop me that, learn that, read this book. I know, all right, but no matter how grown we are, we must never be familiar with certain truth, all right? We must never, ever. And also, you have to learn to walk in love with the newer believers, with the younger ones. I learned something from Dr. Frederick Casey Price. You know, he talked about, you know, time in his church a number of years ago, because I heard this message like when? All right, maybe almost 20 years ago. So, way beyond that. All right, so how that was teaching this, you know, series in church, and it was quite foundational. And then the seemingly older guys, you know, older saints were like, you know, it wasn't for them. You know, it was like too much milk and blah, blah. And he had to teach the fact that love walk, all right, maturity and love walk, when it comes to matters like that, all right, it's in your ability to understand that what fed me and grew me is the same thing as to feed the other guy, to grow him or her. So I have to patiently enjoy that series, not enjoy it, because I know the impact it's having on a newer Christian. Secondly, really, and I must add, no matter how, you know, you've heard something before, you hear something new from it again, you know, but Dr. Price had to teach that and it blessed me, okay? So older saints, you learn to be excited, okay? Very excited when a foundational topic is taught. They shouldn't feel, this is what they are going to teach for 1 month. Well, like, I'm going to sit down, listen to this for 1 month. I passed that. Yes, you have, but the same way it blessed you, you should be excited now, all right? And rejoice on behalf of the new, like, wow, is that what they're going to teach for 1 month? Glory to God, man. I remember when we learned that thing. Glory to God. It really blessed us. It's so good. These new guys are going to learn this thing. And then even we, you know, going to get it again and be refreshed. And it's just amazing, because really, we don't just come to church, or we are not expected to just come to church to have all our needs met. So I say, but that's the point. You're brought to church to grow, all right? Amongst other things. Why, you know, in the process of the growth, needs are met, there's a family bonding and all. Yeah, but we'll grow, all right? Because Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4, all right, that Jesus gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of body of Christ. So there's a growing, because when you grow, you realize, so an example, okay, you're in church, and the preacher is maybe praying for a few folk, laying hands on people, and then the people are like, you know, 10, 15, 20, 25. The normal thing you get to see in a number of churches, people start disconnecting, right? Start gisting, start going, you know, taking pee breaks, you know, getting up and going to the restroom more often. All right, they just feel, you know, it's time to check my phone and all. Whatever is happening in church right now does not concern me. And sincerely, that is us being more, absence of word, selfish. All right, that's just us being a lot more aware, or maybe I'll use the word ignorant, of the corporate anointing. Psalm 133 says how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. All right, it says that's where God commands his blessings, even life forevermore. So when you are in a service, all right, when you're in a service and someone is being prayed for, one thing we seem ignorant of, is we forget that there's a general faith that could get people healed. It's a corporate anointing. It's a corporate faith. I've had to preach in places where I saw myself flowing in things of the Spirit more than I preach somewhere else. And I've heard that from, you know, Dad Hagin and a number of other people. And they're like, it's not sometimes about the preacher. It's about the expectation of the people. And I've had to learn over the years that excitement is not the same as expectation. Someone could be excited to have a particular preacher, all right, come to his or her church. And like, wow, this preacher has come to our church. Wow, excited, all right? But this is expectation. That's you now, not just happy that someone is preaching, but you have a spiritual, you know, demand. You're hungry. You have this strong desire for impact. Like, I'm not going to be the same again. The word of God. And that spiritual demand, all right, you know, is palpable. The preacher would, you know, he'll feel drawn. He'll feel like Jesus, right? In Mark 5, that virtue left him in the case of the woman with the issue of blood. He'll feel like these people are pulling me in diverse directions, right? You know, utterances, word, revelation will flow, all right? That happens a lot to preachers, all right? You even find some preachers saying things like they enjoy traveling to preach, all right, than when they're in church. And it's a trick, all right? Some pastors easily fall into that trap, all right? And that's because you are now... Imagine, you know, how many weeks that guest pastor has been talking about, you know, you come in as guest minister, in the next 3 weeks, countdown, this person come to bless us. Expectation is rising. It's rising. Expectation is rising. You know, this person going to bless us. This is going to happen when this person come. Wow. And then you come, they read your bio, you know, they talk about a few things. And maybe the host talks about, when I met him here. And then, and now come on, welcome all the way from the city of wherever you're from. And then, expectation is, as in the people are like, whoa, they're ready. All right. But young folk, all right, could be unduly familiar. And that's why Jesus was saying that a prophet, you know, is without honor in his own home. Now, it shouldn't be in a place where people are well taught, okay, in a place where people are well trained. That doesn't now mean they have to worship you, you know, wash your feet, kiss your floor, you know, and everything. It just means that they mustn't now be too like, well, that's our pastor, and then forget that there's an anointing, all right, or a grace available to be a blessing. You understand that? So it's important. This is knowledge. This is like, should I call it spiritual 101 or something? Right, because if you don't learn to receive, you won't receive. Did you get that? If you don't learn to receive, you won't receive. And then if you don't learn to cooperate or respond, someone else also might not receive. I'll say that again. If you don't learn to receive, then you won't receive. All right? If all you came to church to do was show off your Sunday cloth, all right, then that's all you get. You showed off your Sunday cloth. If all you came to do was check out the latest worship song they're going to sing, that's all you're going to get. Check out later what's shown. All right. But if you come with expectation, you go back home with that expectation met. If you come to receive, you receive. If you're listening to a teaching and you're like, I'm going to get something today. You will get something. But if you also learn to respond better, someone else gets better. So for instance, like I was saying earlier, the pastor is praying, or guest minister, whoever it is in whatever service or case it might be, is praying for people. And then yes, they are like 10, 20, they are sharing testimonies. Don't just gonna sit there praying in tongues. All right. Praying in tongues. So the pastor lays hands on and says, receive in Jesus. And we can just go, yes, receive. Now, if your whole church is taught to do that, all right, you all might now learn to say gently or just go, amen. I mean, you're all connected. It will be, imagine that amount of faith that is busting through whatever it is, all right? And, you know, that amount of faith that is supporting, you know, the preacher in the thing he's doing. Imagine that high level faith that will be available. All right? The preacher is giving a prophecy on and saying your life will not be the same again. You say yes. And then you could whisper it low in the name of Jesus. Yes, your lives will never be the same. You're responding. You're responding. The preacher goes, glory to God. You go, glory to God. You know, recently I was watching a video. A woman greatly influenced by, you know, Dan Hagin, you know, Pastor Dufresne. You know, she was talking along those lines too. And then if you listen to Keith Moore, you hear him talk about that believers need to learn to respond. Don't switch off. All right. And what happens to most of us is we just feel, well, if my own needs are not being met in the service at that moment, then it doesn't concern me. All right. And that really for us would be very selfish. All right. And it happens. It happens even to singers when they're on stage leading the music, right? They're telling everybody, lift up your hands, shut your eyes, worship, worship. And then when they are not the ones with the microphone, they could check their phones. All right. So we're not training people to have a pulpit life. Okay. And then a devalue for spiritual things when they are not, all right, the ones on the pulpit. So for instance, telling people, shut your eyes and pray, be focused, focused. And when you're not the one leading prayer, you're there on your seat, just, you know, like chief inspector, assistant, Holy Spirit. All right, the Holy Spirit said, you know, give a report of the service after. So you're checking everybody. Now, if it was your job to check during the service, fine. But if it wasn't, be blessed. Get into the flow. And the same thing applies even right now. We're doing online church, right? Because it's online church, all right, you might not be focused, all right? It's online church. You could be, you know, listening on Spreaker and busy changing your WhatsApp status, all right? You're listening on Spreaker and then you're, you know, doing stuff on Instagram, liking posts and, you know, checking stuff. And then, you know, so you could do that. Now, because some of you right now, this particular teaching will meet you on your drive time or your travel time from work back home. That there's nothing you could do about that. There's nothing you could do about that. All right. Some of you will be right now in a very busy place where you can't give ample attention. So it could be, you know, earphones, one side alone, hooked up to listen a bit. And then still busy trying to sort the things you want to do. Last minute customers, last minute this, last minute that. But you're playing because you're not the only one there. Or if you have more access, it's on speaker. And then you can listen and still attend. So I understand those factors. Please get me. But I'm talking about the person who could give a bit more attention. All right. To it. Just a little more attention to it. All right. It's just, you're drawing. And, you know, the truth is, if you learn to draw, whether you're driving, whether you're at the mall or right, busy attending to, you know, a client or something, because you've learned to draw, your spirit is still drawing, your ears are trying to hear, and then you're drawing. All right. So I'm saying it's a general training. Some of us grew up listening to messages. All right. So if it's audio, I'm fine. All right. But some will do better with videos. So if it is, thank God for Facebook. All right. If it's interfered, you could always come back, sit with it again and just get blessed. I'm laying this much foundation. Like I said, it's about like spiritual 101. You and I have got to really put some importance on this. All right. That flow with the Spirit of God, that importance. Is that okay? So how has the Kenneth Hagin teaching been? Please tell me it's been fine. If you can, drop a comment. If you can't, it's all right. But I hope it's been fine. That teaching has blessed me. Sincerely, I've had a number of nights I kept it on repeat, or I was on repeat in our bedroom, just playing, all right? Now, that's fun. Now, yeah, you wake, you sleep up, you wake up, you sleep up. Now, if you tell me, oh, I've heard the tape, like, of the message, like, throughout the week, all right? Like, a day in all of last week and all that. Please don't let it be that it was that while you're sleeping, it's about what you're counting. Now, we could talk about the fact that it was on repeat, but you might not count it. I've had times I was listening to something and then I guess I must have dozed off. And then I try to recall where last was I conscious that I recall. And then I try to take it back and keep playing. Don't just say, well, I miss it. Let's keep going. You know, you're not listening to this because you need to just tell someone I heard it. All right. So if that's what you're doing, please don't do that. Okay. Don't do that. You're listening to this to come back and say, I have been transformed. You're listening to the Kenneth Hagin teaching to come back and say, wow, I am having a better value for being led by the Spirit of God. Is that okay? And that just takes us right now into what we're learning today. Okay, so today's topic, all right, is us understanding the importance of the leadership of the Spirit, the importance of being led by the Spirit. So 1 Samuel, all right, chapter 30 of 1 Samuel, the life of David. You've heard me preach for a while. You would have heard me talk about what happened here in 1 Samuel 30. Okay, so it came to pass in verse 1, when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day, that the Amalekites had raided the south and Ziklag, and smitten Ziklag and burnt it with fire. Ziklag was like their campsite, right? And they had taken the women captives that were therein, and slew not any, so nobody was killed, all right, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burnt with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captive. So David and the people that were with him, you know, lifted up their voices and wept until they had no more power to weep. Now, this is quite disheartening. These are not women or children crying, and these are not just ordinary young men crying. These are men, warriors. All right. This shows that they love their family. All right. They love their wives and kids. This shows that, you know, as strong as they were, they had soft points. As much as they were warriors. All right. They had this soft core for their homes and family. So they cried until they had no more strength within them to weep. Verse 5 says, and David's two wives were taken captive, Ahinoam the Jezreelite, and Abigail, the wife of Nabal the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed, right? For the people speak of stoning him because of the soul of all the people was grieved, and every man for his son and not his daughter. And David encouraged himself in the Lord. Now, this is classic. I will forever love to make reference to this, all right? So something horrible happens to you, and then you're mad. First off, switch your environment. Switch, please. David encouraged himself in the Lord. David had to switch, because if I stay in this grief mode, I won't hear well from God. If I stay in this grief mode, things get worse. You lose your appetite, you lose your sleep, you lose your cool, because you're in a grief mode. I mean, these people move from crying to stoning David. I mean, it could have gotten worse. Stone is kill. Please understand this, all right? I'm not sure they just wanted to harm him and like, you need to feel our pain. No, these were warriors, all right? If you remember how they stoned Stephen and he died, these were warriors. These were not just even Pharisees now. These were warriors, all right? Guys with swords and spears and all. I'm sure one stone from them could be like 10 dead, all right? No, 10 die, or how do we say it? All right, they stone you once, you die like 50 times. All right, so these were muscular guys. My point, I'm just trying to paint a picture like these guys wanted to stone him. So imagine like 50 stones coming at him at once from like how many men? David will be flat dead. So in that case, now, you know, David could have switched into a PR guy, into, oh, let me do public speaking, motivational speaking. But David had to switch. David encouraged himself in the Lord. David encouraged himself in the Lord. David encouraged himself in the Lord, his God. And I like this part, please. David encouraged himself in the Lord, his God. And I think it's important the Bible had to mention his God. David is obvious all through scripture, had a very, very deep and intimate relationship with God. Now we are charismatics, as we refer to ourselves, all right? We are the guys born again, tongue talking, feel the Holy Ghost, hey, blah, 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 blah. All right, but it's interesting to note that the level of depth, all right, of relationship we should have with the Lord, we are yet to have it, and that's what we're trying to do. That's why we're church. The reason why you got born again, and the moment you got born again, the Spirit of God moved into you crying, Abba, Father. That's a cry of intimacy. So what we're here to do is grow. Grow. Not just where I belong to church. No, we've missed it. And I trust in a couple of months coming ahead, both here, you know, online, if we, you know, I know the whole lockdown thing would end, but whatever we could still be able to do online. But in our two physical sites currently, Lagos, you know, and Ijebode, we'll be able to train everybody, you know, to ride into those depths of God, because there are very many amazing things waiting for you and I in those depths of God. Very, very many amazing things. So David encouraged himself in the Lord, his God. In the Lord, his God. You've heard me teach over the years about the fact that David loved to speak of God in present tense reality. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my refuge. The Lord is my light and my salvation. The Lord is, I mean, he spoke present tense. So David had a relationship. So this is where it comes in, because when you're in trouble, you turn to people you're close to. If you're very close to your family and friends, they are always the first set of people and most likely the only people you're close to. And if you're close to the Lord, all right, you likely want to talk to God before even talking to friends, or even when you talk to friends because they were physically around you, you'll go back and like, guys, I need to hear from God on this matter. Because you're building a relationship with him, and you know that he's the only one that knows what nobody else knows. He's the only one that sees what nobody else sees. If only we can allow ourselves to be led, it will save a lot of accidents. It will save a lot of deaths. It will save a lot of disappointments. It will save a lot of, there's most cases where someone died in an accident, you hear the family member say, and she didn't want to go on that trip. And he didn't want to go on that trip. And it ends up becoming, but she had to go. It was her best friend's graduation. She had to go. It was her nephew's blah. He had to know. Don't override the leadings of the Spirit. That's why I beg you, we are taking time to teach this. That's why we're asking us to listen to this. I beg you, all right? I beg you. You have to develop a relationship with the Lord, and it becomes intimate so that no matter how dark, David said, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil because you are with me. David encouraged himself in the Lord, his God. Wow. Such intimacy expressed in that line. Is God encouraged himself, you know, in the Lord is God. Praise God. All right. And then he said, verse 7, to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, I pray you bring me here the ephod. All right. Bring me here the ephod. And Abiathar brought the ephod to David. And David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, pursue, for you will surely overtake them, and without fail you will recover all. Now, we're dealing with the importance, how to be led, right? But the importance of being led by the Spirit. So David, all right, was told by God, you'll recover all. Now, many of us could have things happen to us and then want to get up and say, okay, take a step, take a move, take a step, do something. But God told David, go. What if God said, don't go? What if he said, go? What if he said, don't go? That's what we said, guys. Let's learn what it means to be led. So David now steps out on that word, you know, that God said to him. All right. So David went, he, 600 of his men that were with him, came to the brook Besor and those, you know, that were left behind. But David pursued, and he and 400 people, all right, for 200 of them, explaining why there were six and now 400, all right, stayed back, for they were tired and could not go over the brook Besor, right? And they found an Egyptian in the field. Please note this part of the story. They found an Egyptian in the field and brought him to David and gave him bread, and he did eat and made him drink water. And they gave him a piece of cake of figs and two clusters of raisins. And when he had eaten, his spirit came again, for he had not eaten no bread, or he had eaten no bread nor drank no water for 3 days, 3 days and nights. Now, how many of you will be so pressed, like, I have an appointment, I'm running out of time, I've got to get this thing done, time is not, you know, blah, blah, and all of that, and then you want to stop and be nice to someone? It takes a whole lot of character. It takes a whole lot to really, really, like, do that. And find David doing that. Sometimes, even when you're trying to be nice to someone, you're like, please hurry up, you know? But David waited for a dying man, all right, to be revived, all right? They gave him food, they waited and waited and waited. That shows a lot about the character of David. It means that he had, you know, don't forget, David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. So he did that. That means there was a level of peace that must have come to David. Having encouraged himself in the Lord and hearing from God, you recover all. There's a level of calmness that must have come to David, such that he could wait and help a dying man and not feel, I'm not losing anything, not even knowing that that was a setup, all right, to help him recover his entire family. And David said to the man, verse 13, to whom do you belong and where are you from? And he said, I'm a young man of Egypt, a servant of an Amalekite, and my master left me because 3 days ago I fell sick. We made an invasion upon the south of the Cheritites and upon the coast that belongs to Judah and upon the south of Caleb, and we burnt Ziklag with fire. They must have gone, All right, because Ziklag, that was their city. Okay. And David said to him, all right, can you bring me down to this company? And he said, swear unto me by God that you will neither kill me nor deliver me to my master, and I will bring you down to the company. And he brought him down, you know, behold, they were spread abroad upon all the earth, eating and drinking and dancing, because all the great spoil they are taken out of the hand of the Philistines and of the land of Judah. And David smote them from twilight even unto evening. David was an action man. All right, David smote them from twilight even until evening of the next day. They were in fight from morning, evening, midnight, morning till evening next day. All right, and there escaped not a man of them, save 400 young men which rode upon camels. There's so much to learn here. Sometimes you almost wonder, but if God spoke to me, why must I take steps? If God spoke to me, why should there be difficulty? I mean, God told David, you're going to recover them. David had just gotten to the camp where those guys were and just said, hey, everybody, God said, I'm going to recover my family. Hand me my family. And they say, yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, boss. And then give back. No, he had to fight. And it wasn't a 30-minute fight. He fought from twilight, early morning, all right? I mean, he fought, you know, he fought and kept on fighting and fought till the next day. Twilight, dawn, twilight, twilight, twilight. I'm trying to like, okay, twilight, you know. So, I mean, so David fought from one day to the next day. All right. I'm now like, okay, my twilight. What's twilight? All right. You know, so David, I mean, this is fight. This is war. This is like war. This is war, guys. I mean, you could almost think, because sometimes we're lazy in, you know, going after what God tells you, even when you meet with hindrances on the way, even when circumstances are not favorable, you know, but you've got to say, I heard from God. This is the importance of hearing from God. All right. In 1 Corinthians, the 16th, all right, 1 Corinthians chapter 16, let me just skip quickly there. I said 1 Corinthians, Acts 16, Acts chapter 16. All right. I wanted to read that much later, but let me read it now. Acts 16, all right, Bible says here that they came, you know, and he came to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain man was there named Timotheus, and his, you know, a son of a certain woman that was Jewish and believed, all right, she was a believer. His father was Greek, all right, which was well reported amongst the brethren that were Lystra and Iconium, and him will Paul have to go with him. Paul wanted him to join up with him and to circumcise him because he was Jew and because of those that were in those quarters, and they knew, I mean, that, hey, his father is Greek, all right. Watch this now, and they, all right, I'm actually going to 6, so let me just skip to 6. Now, when they had gone through Phrygia, all right, and the region of Galatia, and were forbidden by the Holy Ghost, all right, to preach the word in Asia, all right. And then verse 7, after they were come to Mysia, they are said to go to Bithynia, but the Spirit also did not allow them. Now, this is a man called by God to missions, all right. So he's out there trying to preach, but the Holy Ghost says no, stops. Again, he's out to preach, the Holy Ghost says no, he stops. Verse 9 says, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. All right. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately he endeavored to go into Macedonia, as saying, all right, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel unto them also. Please, please understand this. This is Paul saying, all right, I want to take a step, God says no. I want to take a next step, God says no. All right, so we wait. He sees a vision, then they get there. All right, now, skip. Please allow me. Let me just skip. All right, verse 16, and it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel, all right, young lady, a certain damsel possessed with the spirit of divination met us, who brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. And this did she many days, right? She did that for many days. But Paul, being grieved, right, turned and said to the Spirit, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ, come out of her. And it came out of her that same hour. When her master saw that the hope of their gains, right, was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and threw them into the market place unto the rulers, and brought them to the magistrate, saying, these men, all right, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city, and teach customs, all right, which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent their clothes off them, and commanded to beat them. So they tore their clothes, beat them up, who, having received such that, trust them. So I just skip 23. Let me read 23, all right. And when they had laid many stripes on them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. Him, having received such charge, thrust them into the inner prison, all right, and made their feet fast in stocks. Please understand this. So God is the one who led Paul. God is the one who led Paul and Silas and his entire team, all right, the entire guys, all right. Timothy had joined them, if you remember from, you know, the first verse. And God let these guys out to go preach, to go here, all right, to Macedonia to preach. So they went there. And they cast out a demon from a girl. And then they got into trouble. They are beaten. They are thrown in prison. Why are we here? You know, what's the lesson to learn here? Sometimes you think, like we saw in David's case, you get into trouble. And please understand, no matter what kind of trouble you're in, there's a way out. We see that in 1 Samuel 30. David got into trouble. His family kidnapped. He got a way out. He heard from God. That's a major importance on being led. Please get this. There's something important about being led. All right. You hear from God. And then there might be steps God will have you take. He might lead you consciously and unconsciously there are steps he would have you take. Please take the steps. Please do whatever things you believe in your heart that God will have you do. Do the right thing. Be kind to people even on your way to obeying God. Please understand this. David did that. All right? Be kind. Be generous when you don't need to. Maybe now, be generous. Bible says concerning the fruit of the Spirit that against such there is no law. All right? Be generous even on your way to obeying God. Even if you need to say no, be polite. Because you might not know which is an angel about you. You might not know how God might have strategically positioned your rescue from that situation. And most times we miss all these little things. So just, well, I've talked to God. The problem is with me. And God, I don't care. Who cares? No. Don't forget, good measure pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men. God does a whole lot of what he does through men. God does a whole lot of what he does through people. So you and I have got to understand this. Please. We see in Paul's case, God could speak to you. God could give you a word. And then you go there and then there's a bit of trouble in your obeying God. But I love and you and I know the 25th verse. At midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises and the prisoners heard them. 26, and suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaking. And immediately all the doors were open and everyone's bands were loose. And the keeper of the prison, awakened out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do not harm yourself, we're all here." Then he called for a light, sprang in, and came trembling, fell down before Paul and Silas. The same person who threw them into prison is falling down before them. All right, verse 30, and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" The narrative has changed. Same man that must have said, "Get inside, rascals, get inside, buffoons, get inside. You are the ones coming to trouble our city. Get inside, push, 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 kick, kick," whatever they might have had to do, and chain them and knock them and, and all that. That the same person said, "Sirs," the narrative changed. Now, Paul and Silas could have felt so mad. "God, if you knew, you are just going to embarrass us here. What's all this? What's all?" And then we get too carried away with things not going right. Please, no matter how horrible things get, tell yourself all things work together for good. Now, doesn't mean the things were initially to work together for your good. The devil might have meant it for evil, might have sent it to crash you, your ministry, your marriage, your home, whatever it is. But you maintain your stand. Maintain, it will turn out for good. Maintain hearing from God. It will turn out for good. It will turn out for good. And you'll watch the whole thing turn around. If Paul and Silas did not maintain the right perspective, they won't be able to pray and praise. They didn't just pray. God, if it was just prayer, we know maybe they kept on telling God, "Do something, God, do something." But they praise. Praise is like, "Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God, glory. Hey, we give you praise, we give you praise." Well, and then they praise, and then they praise, and then they praise. Okay, so we see the earthquake and all that. Hey, my goodness, whoa. And they could have just escaped. But no, God sent us here. Please, there's a perspective. God sent us here. Some of us need to learn. This also applies to relationships, all right? Sometimes you feel, "Oh, God led me to that relationship. God brought this person to my life." And all that. Relationships will be tested. Things will happen. You fight to keep it going. You fight to preserve it. You fight to protect it. Because God spoke something doesn't mean it will just drop in on your feet like ripe guava, all right? It doesn't always do that. You push your foot down. You make things work. So we're seeing here, all right, the importance of being led. If Paul and his team were not led, they would have walked away from the city. They would have said, this problem is too much. Once they release them from prison, let's get out of here. It's not a good place to be. But God led them, and this was the birth of the Philippian church. All right? Because you see here, after the man said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" All right? 31, then they said to him, "Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you and your household will be saved." And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all of them that were in his house. Beautiful stuff, guys. Beautiful stuff. We see that happening here. All right. I want to show us something in 2 Samuel. Let's just get back to 2 Samuel. And then the 5th chapter of 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel chapter 5. So we'll begin, gradually round it up here. So 2 Samuel chapter 5, verse 17. When the Philistines heard that David had been anointed king over Israel, all the Philistines came up to seek David and they heard of it. All right, and they went down to the stronghold. Then the Philistines also came and spread themselves on the valley of Rephaim. And David inquired of the Lord. This is what he does. saying, shall I go up to the Philistines? Will you deliver me, deliver them into my hands? All right. And the Lord said to David, go up and I will doubtless deliver the Philistines into your hands. So David came to Baal Perazim, and David smote them there and said, the Lord had broken forth upon your enemies. All right. And my enemies, my enemies as a breach of what has therefore called the name of Baal Perazim. This is where you get the word breakthrough or break forth from. All right. And there they left their images, and David and his men burnt them. And the Philistines came up again, second time, all right, and spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim, same place, again. All right, and when David inquired of the Lord, God gave you an answer to something, you almost would think it should be the same answer, all the time. But David realized, no, God gave me answer then. I need to check if it's the same answer now. Please, it is okay in Spirit of Life Christian Center, guys, when the question will be, have you prayed about it? It is okay, guys, if the question is, what's God telling you about it? And it's okay to say, if you haven't, I haven't. All right. It's okay to say, well, I prayed about it, but I'm just trusting God for steps. All right. Or like you saw in, Acts 16, Paul wanted to go somewhere, the Holy Ghost stopped him. Then God revealed. So sometimes you say, well, I prayed about it. I feel I should take a few steps. If there's any restriction, I'll fall back. You just need to learn to be sincere. Not everybody will be sincere to fall back. Haven't set out. You bought the form, all right, for that school. Maybe you want to run your postgraduate, all right? And then the form's going to close. You're praying about it, but you don't want that, the form closes when you not get the answer and God says, go ahead. And you're like, oh, I should have got the answer on time. So you pick up the form and then you just like, okay, I'm still praying, but let me have the form in case it closes. I have the form, all right? And then you're praying again and then submission's going to close. You're not hearing anything yet. Then you submit. And then they send an admission letter and God says no. All right, you need to be solid enough at that point to say, well, I have admission, but God says no. So it's no. You understand? But that's sincerity. But it's fine, guys. If nobody's asking what God is saying or if you've prayed about it, ask yourself. Why? We are seeing here the importance of being led. The importance of being led. Please understand. All right. So David inquired of the Lord a second time. All right. And he said, the Lord said, you shall not go up, but fetch a compass behind them and come up against them, all right, over the mulberry trees. And let it be when you hear the sound, all right, going up in the top of the mulberry trees, you will stir yourself and, you will know that the Lord has gone before you, and you will smite the host of Philistines. And David did so as the Lord commanded him, and he smote the Philistines from Geba even until he come to Gaza. Why was he doing this? David was able to hear from God, and he took a step different from the step he took. Guys, I remember 2011, where we had this major Christmas program. It was big. God had led us, or we had it. Cash was low, about 15,000 in the bank. There was ASU strike. Banks were short. There was insecurity in the city. Thieves were raiding banks. Ammo tanks everywhere. And God said, have a big program. All right. In fact, I remember people still ask, are you sure we should have this program this kind of time? I said, God said. So let's do it. And thank God that was beautiful. The peace about it. We had 1,300 people in attendance, and they were like, maybe just a bus or two, or how many that came from campus, not our usual of being 10 or 20. No. And people came, a cross section of the city, young, old, they came. It was, but God spoke. So beautiful. It was beautiful. Now, you just jump into the following year and say, we're going to have the same program again. And everybody's like, hey. So he set up a committee, put up a committee chairman, choir starts rehearsing. And then I went to Lagos for a pastor's program. I was at my friend's house in the morning. And God said, I didn't actually do the same thing this year. What I actually do this year, now, this is my instruction for this year. Relocate the church. Move to a new venue. We've started announcing. Choir has been meeting. Committee chairman is there. They've been bringing some from out of town to do rehearsals. House. Money is being spent. Lodging, the person. I have to go say that. Now, you are almost like in between, do I step on toes or do I obey God? And guys, please don't forget that the major mistake King Saul made, all right, was he did what the people said, not what Samuel said. You have to follow what Samuel, all right, the Holy Ghost in our case, is saying, not the people. Now, you could say, I should have picked it earlier. I agree. That's on me. I should have picked it earlier. I didn't. But at whatever point you pick it and God says no, please is no. Those of you who lead, those of you who follow the leaders, don't push them. All right, the leader comes back and say, I don't think that's what God is saying. Don't say, no, we have done this. Oh, it's not. Even if we've pushed too much in that direction, God will recompense us. Please. God will recompense us. Let's be spiritually smart and sensitive about that. Well, but we've moved that direction until we found that God will recompense us. God will honor the fact that we're only moving in the direction our leader asks us to move into. He will honor it and recompense us. Please get this. So it's important for you and I to understand that we can't just jump out and say, well, we did it before. So we're going to do it again. All right? We did it before. We'll do it again. No. God might have a different direction. God might have a different flow. God might have something different. The importance of being led. I need to round up now. I think back at Joseph. All right? Joseph, the father of Jesus. Physical, earthly father of Jesus. So you look at Joseph, and then Joseph found that Mary was pregnant and was walking away. He was going to just, you know, leave her quietly so as not to bring her to public shame. Then an angel showed up. That's a leading, all right, but through angelic operation. And then he accepted. Imagine the honor God was going to give Joseph to be the earthly father of Jesus. The honor he would have missed if he wasn't led. All right? But this is, now, but look at this place. He said, ah, but angel showed up to him. Angel, Imagine you getting pregnant, married, right? And people are now counting your wedding day and your pregnancy, the day you gave birth. And like, oh, I thought Joseph and Mary got married in March. Yes, now, it's March. March, April, May, June, July, August. The baby was born in August. 5 months begin. Waiting happen. They don't do something. You know, so most times you might not think of the fact that they also might have had to face, you know, the embarrassment of when the baby show up in the womb, when do people get married? You've done something here. And all of that. So he wasn't just obeying God. He was willing to stand in a place of ridicule if need be. Was willing to be questioned if need be. Was willing to stand for whatever it was going to be if need be. And God must have seen the right kind of person it was. And, you know, the Bible mentioned that. It was a just guy. All right? God saw that. My point is, he had to be led. So because he was led, he didn't mind what will follow. Guys, God will lead us in this season. Some will be smooth. Some might seem rough. Are you willing to follow the leading? Psalm 32 verse 8 says, I will instruct you, lead you in the way you should go, guide you with my eyes. It means God will keep showing you what you need to do. God will tell you what you need to do. We cannot, guys, overemphasize the place of you and I being led. We can't, all right? I guess I got to close now. But you and I must interpret. There's what for Sunday, okay? Anyway, so glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Can you just lift your hands and say, I'm led by the Spirit. 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 Just say that. I'm led. I'm filled with the Spirit. I am a shepherd. I'm a sheep. He's my shepherd. I follow in the name of Jesus. Guys, this is super important. Please, let's, if you haven't listened to the Ken Hagin teaching, please do. Let's just do all the things we need to do and just grow, all right? Just grow in the name of Jesus. So have a beautiful, beautiful week. Please join the Morning Faith Boost if you can. All right? See you on Sunday. Bye.